This piece was brought to you by Roberta's. Roberta'sPizza.com.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Oh, yes. That music could be the indication that it is the first day of spring. I don't know if that's true, but in New York, the snow has melted, and it's just there's something in the air. It's like sundresses. We've got a lot of pressure on us tonight on eating disorder on the heritageradio.org because our engineer is like the head honcho of – it's Jack. He's a great guy. But the last time around that he engineered our show, filling in for the wonderful Liz – afterwards, I didn't actually know how high-ranking he was.
Oh, really?
And I told an off-color masturbation sleeve story in the air. And I was curious about the censorship on heritageradio.org, of which there is none. So if you like our show,
dude,
and you
week,
like our
last
repeats...
Week you had your ward here, and you had a five-year-old.
I had a five-year-old.
And I was cursing up a storm.
It's true. It's true. Okay. His mom didn't seem to mind. I did like referencing last week. We had Cornmo. I have since bought $21 worth of his music. I recommend it. 357 Lover is his band, and then mm-hmm. Cornmo independently. But the great thing about last week is I was babysitting, so I just brought the five-year-old an hour past his bedtime.
And I swore I wasn't going to curse, and I cursed like a sailor.
But it didn't matter, because every time he was about to nod off, Cornmo broke into an accordion song and woke him up. But we're back. It's Roberta's. It's spring. Pizza's in the air. And what have you been up to? Or what are you going? Because we should announce now.
Yeah. I'm gonna be off the show for a couple of weeks. I'm going to South by Southwest.
That's in Austin.
Yeah,
the only place worth going to in Texas.
Yeah, it's the little blue dot in a big sea of red.
Yes.
You know, I'm going there for work, but you know, I might be hitting you guys up with the tweets and the Instagrams and the webisodes and all that kind of crap.
Right.
You know,
I'm going to give you some advice. So, yeah. The Alamo Draft House is there.
Love the Alamo Draft House.
The best movie theater in the history of movie theaters.
And
Tim
and
Carrie Lee.
I'll never make it there because they have the film festival.
Okay, but the Fantastic Fest is going on.
Yeah. Well, no, it's the South by Southwest.
Oh, South by Southwest.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. But you can go probably grab a beer there. Okay. Also, if you like. Brisket and barbecue.
Salt Lick.
Have you ever been to Salt Lick?
No.
The sheriff, it's a little out of town, but the sheriff sits there with those airplane waivers and waves parking in. It is phenomenal. I was there with 24 different people, and they just have a plate. You just order the barbecue plate, and it was after a Bikini's Bar and Grill shoe fly french fry eating contest, and my buddy Dinshaw was there, and there was a competitive eater who was largely a vegetarian, Kevin Ross, and Dinshaw was like, "You're gonna eat meat. We want 24 meat platters." And he's like, "I'll just eat around the meat." And the lady's like, "There is nothing. It's only meat on the meat platter." And they had some cauliflower. I know.
Yeah, exactly.
So he ended up eating the meat platter. So the Salt Lick I recommend. We are going to do, for eating disorder fans, statisticians, we're going to do a repeat next week. I have no idea which show it's going to be. And then I'll be back. And then where's Paldo, Chef Paul Girard?
We'll be back.
We have some exciting news to announce. We are in the works
to
do a live show from his new establishment.
Coming to you live.
Yes. And that place, which I mispronounce its name every time,
Bel Rev.
I got it right once. David Chappelle was in the other night. Mm-hmm. Buster Poindexter. A lot of celebs. We're going to be there live.
That's right.
Next week, while you are at South by Southwest, I am attending via another Heritage Radio host, Jimmy Carbone, Jimmy Pots and Pans, Jimmy 43, has invited me to be a guest at King Brisket NYC, or Brisket King NYC, and then he's got a wrap-up show about that. So a lot is going on.
And what's your role in the brisket?
You know what? That reminds me. I need to write a blog for the Huffington Post. That gets my entry fee taken care of. I said I'd be a guest judge. Anything but competitive eating, because I'm under contract with Major League Eating. I have to be honest. I am not with Tim League of the Alamo Draft House.
Mm-hmm.
He screened the documentary Crazy Legs Conti Zen and the Art of Competitive Eating years ago, and he had
shameless
me do a
plug.
Yeah, shameless plug. You can get it for like $4 on Amazon, so it's not that shameless. And he had me do a brisket eating contest against him, but really, I just wanted to watch movies and drink beer. So
awesome.
I am not the most brisket knowledgeable individual, but I think 4 hours of all-you-can-eat brisket, I will leave there as a brisket expert. Now, speaking of experts, we have a guest tonight. I'm actually, I would say, and this is honest and truthful, it's probably about, what would you say your percentage is of when you know a guest is booked, not a personal friend, your excitement level, Rev? Would you say 20%, 40%?
Oh, stop.
60%?
I'm 100% for every guest. You know that.
All right. He's lying.
Come on.
He's lying, listeners. I'm maybe at 40, maybe, you know, 60 if they're a good friend of mine. And I'm at like 88% because we have a guest on. I should really let you bring them on because, you know.
Well, let me give you the
but
the
one in one word, taxidermy.
Oh,
take it over, Rev.
Well,
tell me where
well,
you
well, what I had gone to go see a show at Christmas at the Bell House. And I walked into the Museum of Gross Anatomy, and I met our guest, who was an amazing person. And I just had a little time to kill, but Brant McDuff.
Right? Welcome.
Welcome. Is a taxidermist. And I kept thinking about it. I'm like, stuff that bird.
Stuff the bird?
Stuff the
what,
bird.
Like at Thanksgiving or just in general?
Just in general. Just like in the most horrible way. Like, stuff the bird.
All right.
You know, stuff the bird. So he told me a little bit about taxidermy that night. And I said, oh, we have to get the guy on the show.
Yes.
He's a taxidermist.
Now, Brian, welcome to Eating
Brant.
Disorder. Oh, sorry,
Brant.
What is it?
Brant. It's Brant.
I was going to ask you for the spelling
it's
of the name.
B-R-A-N-T.
All right, Brant.
Yeah.
Now, Brant, I would think most people would assume a taxidermist looks like William Burroughs, like
yeah.
80 years old. You
or the guy from Duck Dynasty.
You look like you're 14. You're wearing a button-up Uniqlo shirt with a bow tie.
Uniqlo, come on.
What brand is that? Something fancy? Frank and Oak?
No, this is Lands End.
All right,
Lands End. Yes.
But you look so youthful. You look like considered the Justin Bieber of taxidermists?
Oh my God.
No? Is that a compliment? How old are you?
I am 31.
That's ridiculous.
I know. I look like
you
a
must
baby.
Get carded everywhere. You really do look 14.
Everywhere. I know. I look like a baby.
I worked when I used to work at film. There was a guy we used to hire. He would play a 12-year-old, but he was like 36, and he would smoke cigarettes with the grips, and it was amazing to see. You remind me of that guy. You're so youthful.
I'm a performer. I do try to get those roles to be that young
to be that young guy.
That young guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How did you get into taxidermy? I can't imagine.
Right, well, first of all, calling me an expert is very generous. Thank you. Calling
you're
me
the only
a taxidermist
we know.
Is very generous.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, I mean,
you spotted we had a boar and like
not,
a deer head.
You know, it's like let's say you saw me playing basketball, you know, on the street with some friends, and you're like, oh, hey, this guy's a basketball player.
Yeah,
you know,
Jerry
not,
Seasting. You
not
look like Jerry
like,
Seasting from... All right, fair enough.
How we get most of our guests.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You know, I'm not like a pro.
You're not...
But,
is there a pro division in taxidermy?
Exactly.
There is, really?
I mean, I do commission work, so I do get paid.
Okay.
But
that's
professional,
then. You brought us something to observe.
I brought a little
for the
fun
viewers
thing.
At home.
For, yep,
we
viewers.
Don't have a webcam in this refurbished, retrofitted trailer. Now this is a combination.
I brought a lot of visual aids. Actually, I took a bunch
That's perfect.
Of pictures.
Oh,
I've
we
got,
do all that. We
yeah,
do all that on the
good.
Show. We're on a few auditory experiences that exist only in the visual medium.
Mm-hmm.
It is a duck.
One.
That has the head of a crocodile?
It's a crocodile.
He's called the Gator Koi. A friend of mine, Rick Kinnair, who does taxidermy in New Orleans.
Okay.
And
I would think that's a very popular place for taxidermy.
It's great. You know, he knows a bunch of alligator farmers.
Yes.
So he is making me some specialty items that I asked for. He's making me about 20 or 30 alligator paw back scratchers.
Wow,
and
nice.
Some alligator paw bottle openers.
Are these for sale or just for personal use?
Oh, yeah, he sells. He sells.
Okay.
With the paw thing. I always think about the monkey's paw and that whole, you know, that old
Indiana Jones?
No, the old horror story about the monkey's paw,
right.
About like, you know,
I don't know.
It's careful what you wish for. Is
yes,
sort of
yes,
the,
what happens?
Was,
tell
was,
me
it
this.
Was, it was an old. It was an old story about a monkey's paw, right? Uh-huh. And it was a taxidermy monkey's paw that mm-hmm. where in I believe it was Twilight Zone or Outer Limits or whatever.
Okay,
did a thing about it, and it was an old story where you get the monkey paw and it gives you wishes, but it gives you the wrong wishes. Like if you say, I wish for I want a
nine-inch pianist.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it was, it was more of the sort of a Edgar Allan Poe style, where I believe in the original story, this husband and wife, they have the monkey paw, and they find out that their son, who's a machinist in this mm-hmm. big factory, there's been a terrible accident at the factory, ooh. And their son is dead.
Oh.
And the wife takes the monkey paw and wishes that he was still alive.
Right.
And so, of course, what happens is they get this zombie son coming back to the front door, and he's just got his body is just shredded from the... Yeah,
which is
son of a,
that's not the son they knew.
No, but that totally works with my Bernie Wrightson eerie comics, you know, okay. Thing for me.
Brent, have you handled the monkey paw before?
I haven't.
Yeah. Is that on your checklist?
I would love to do some work with monkeys. Okay. Sure, yeah. I mean, right now my freezer is an interesting combination of, you know, dead animals and Trader Joe edamame.
Nice. Two things I always pair together whenever I'm having a party.
All right. Yeah, all right. I think I've got like a few different birds.
So, top
in there
three
and,
things you haven't worked with that you'd like to.
You know, all right. Well,
and then I'll come back to what's in the fridge. You have only birds and mice in the fridge?
I've got birds, yeah, birds, mice, rats.
Rats? Who's asking for a rat?
So I
to
do
be?
A lot of, well, so here's the, you're talking about like how young, you know, you think a lot of taxidermy. Yeah. I think the old perception of, you know, the taxidermist is correct, is what you're bringing up. But
creepy
now
guy
it's,
in a trench coat and
fedora. You know, now, so the Morbid Anatomy Museum, which is where we met, in Gowanus, they teach taxidermy classes. So
and Gowanus, for those who don't know, is basically a taxidermist neighborhood, meaning like it's just covered in like cellophane.
Well, that's because
stuff.
The zombie animals are coming out of the freaking canal.
Out of the Gowanus Canal, yeah.
So they're they want to do like a wing, like a taxidermist wing?
No, they have a...
no, a tentacle.
They have, they have an event space downstairs, and they teach taxidermy. So you can sign up for a class, and you can learn how to taxidermy mice. They mostly do anthropomorphic mice
Let's
classes.
Talk about that.
Anthropomorphic mice?
Well, if you saw our like Facebook Mickey. Page, because you don't have a fucking Facebook page, so you wouldn't, you know, it was, we had a squirrel with an AK-47, and that's an anthropomorphic,
animals doing people things.
I got you. Okay, fair enough.
Well, what about
confusing it with onomatopoeia, where it's like swish.
Oh, yeah,
what do you think about like bodies? The thing that's
so that's
an anthropomorphic.
That's a little different. Oh, what you mean with?
Well, I mean, what I don't like about it
that's
is
human taxidermy, or is that not considered
plastination?
Taxidermy? Plastination.
Yeah, and,
what a good word.
And what I don't like about it is the fact that they actually it's human anthropomorphic shit because they have them like, you know, conducting orchestras and, you know, doing all these like things.
Well, they're humans doing human things.
Yeah. But what don't you like about it, Reverend?
Because it's fucking humans.
So what?
Well, so here's the thing. The issue that people have with that is that we're not all 100% sure on the efficacy of the way that those bodies were
interesting.
Sourced.
And there we should point out, according to the New York Post that I read every day, that there is a cadaver shortage currently.
Really?
So I'm guessing taxidermists are on the low, like, well, if you're going to be a cannibal, we call it long pig, right? Is there a name for the bodies? Is there a name for human taxidermy? Is that ever requested? Like somebody lost, like a wife lost their husband and is like, just put him in the Barker
Lounge?
Williamsburg,
it's hipsterdermy.
Hipsterdermy, yeah.
Certainly there are people that want to do that. And there are people...
Is that legal?
Really?
No.
Okay.
There are some pretty cool things that...
Do we have to go to, like, Bermuda or the Bahamas? I got to get on a plane. I go to, you know...
I would love to be stuffed after I'm done.
Well, that's the thing. So it's like, if we had this deal, like...
Yeah.
If you say, you know, when you croak, I get to taxidermy your body, I would love that, but it's still...
Done. You can have the Reverend's body.
Kind
I
of
get permission.
So what, I got to go to like
legal
Brussels?
Gray area.
Well, it's like, who's Dr. Kevorkian. It's like,
yes,
you know, those people...
Euthanasia.
They were alive.
I'm saying like they're,
well,
they were
they weren't
requesting.
Alive for long if he did his job.
Right, they were requesting death from him,
but he still got
in trouble because it's not...
Yeah. I want to be a coat rack.
You want to
I would
a
love
co-rec?
That.
You know,
would, right. Yeah,
well, think about it. Yeah, like
there,
got the
done.
Hands and,
I think
you know,
we can make this deal happen
top
over
hat on
Roberta's
the groin.
Pizza.
I mean, come on.
All right, so taking humans aside, the legality of which we just learned, which was educational.
there are some cool things you can do, though. Like, I'd really like to... there are people who have tattoos
okay.
that want their tattoos preserved after they die.
Okay. Pass away?
So, like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
super.
Great. So what
you know
we
this
could
is
do
a restaurant
you
as you
die,
lift up your shirt yeah. there. Yeah. Do you think your girlfriend, should you pass away before her, which is a given,
I would,
do,
love
that would want
she,
that,
if
like,
I would
framed?
Love, she could take this particular tattoo that yes. she actually gave to me, which is a sacred heart with a knife and fork, you know, crossing it. And that's
yeah.
one of the inspirations for this fucking show.
That's true.
Right? I would love her if she can... You know, take it and stretch it and put it on a canvas and put it on a wall.
Yeah, there's nothing,
yeah, no,
there's nothing creepy about that at all.
There are people doing that. So you could definitely ask for that. And so when you're dead and you're in the morgue, you could say, hey, Brant is going to take off some of my skin. So, I would go down there and cut off that layer of skin, and then we can stretch it and tan it, and we can frame it and make it just like a...
Would you
nice
have to
setup?
Do a... Brant, would you have to do like a swatch to see how it pans out? or would you take a little extra for yourself, like personal collection?
For like a keychain or something?
Yeah,
like
just
a little
something
remembrance.
Like, you know...
That's a nice thought.
All right, give me... so your top three that you have not worked with yet that you're looking forward to working with. Animals,
yeah.
No, I mean, we're all thinking Scarlett Johansson, but yeah, animals, yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny. I would really like to. I don't know how this is going to go over, but I would really like to taxidermy a dog because I would like to have a taxidermy dog.
Yeah, okay.
But I just have to wait for someone
that
has an old dog that passes away.
No. There used to be a place. There used to be a club in New York. It used to be called MK. It was on 14th Street.
Okay.
It was a very famous club, and they had two taxidermy Dobermans. You know, and there were the owner's Dobermans who had actually passed on.
Yeah.
And it was, they were framing a Jackson Pollock.
Oh, wow.
You know, and no, but I mean, a lot of people.
Wait, I'm just getting a visual image. So the taxidermy dogs, although in real life, no artistic inclination. We're framing, like they're putting together the frame on a Jackson Pollock.
No, they were just they were like the lions
to the left and right of the painting.
Exactly.
Yeah. For some reason, I just saw them going, Rufus, that splatter stain. use the wood grain. All right, so
yes.
All right, so
it's very difficult to find a taxidermist who will taxidermy your dog.
That's because I would think most people who lose a dog are like, bring it back, although it's not
as
movable.
It's, you know, even if you want your... a lot of people do not want their pets taxidermied, but if they do, it's very difficult to find someone who will say yes to that, because the thing is with... So we got a boar head right behind us here. And as far as you know, that is exactly how he looked when he was alive.
So friendly, so like,
exactly,
invited.
Yeah. But
that's
you've got, like, if you've
boar.
Got your little dog and you know every face that he makes, you know, when he's happy and he's sad, and it's very difficult for a taxidermist to bring
about
that personality.
I mean, what about the whole thing where people freeze-dried their animals?
For jerky?
Yeah, No. They freeze-dried their animals to keep them around.
Oh, in case they can clone them?
Not a clue why.
You can do a form of freeze drying that will preserve them, and you can have them out like a piece of taxidermy. It's just a different process.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
All right. So that's so dog, which you haven't had
dog.
Yet.
And then here's the
give us two others or one other.
Well, you know, so there's kind of an underground thing with taxidermists where if you let's say a tiger at a zoo dies and they want to preserve the tiger and send it to a museum or something.
Okay.
So the tiger dies or something happens. They send it to the taxidermist. The taxidermist might take a little bit of that tiger meat and be like, I've tried tiger before.
Oh, and eat the tiger meat.
Really? Yeah.
This is like an Eli Roth movie. Because LSU, their mascot is Mike the Tiger. They've gone through like 32 tigers.
So you're saying we should taxidermy a frat boy.
Yeah, so however you want to, you ever want to eat
beer and Axe body spray.
I would like to do some larger.
So you want in on an animal that you could eat. How would you?
That's not my big bald eagle. That's exactly. Yeah, that's not my MO.
Yeah, I
but
gotcha.
It's kind of a funny little interesting side note kind
Have
of thing.
Have you seen The Freshman with Brando?
Oh, of course.
All right, when we come back, this is. Fascinating stuff. When we come back, we're going to hear the number one or another animal that, or alien, I don't even know, that you want to taxidermy. But we're on Eating Disorder on theheritageradio.org. And enjoy.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
They are super awesome. As I reach for a piece of salad, and I was reaching for the free Roberta's pizza, and I knocked over the Kraka ducker. Gator koi? What is the koi?
That's what Rick calls him. Rick calls it, well, because it's a duck decoy. It's
gotcha.
That's not an actual duck. That's a duck decoy.
Did you touch it, Reverend? What does it feel like?
It feels like plastic.
So this attracts more combination.
I'm going to put it this way.
Yeah,
this
is when you go, this is when you go, you know, duck gator hunting and you need to attract more of them. It's sort of the jackalope of the deep south.
I'm actually trying to engage the first day table. And there was a very pretty blonde over here that I'm trying to.
You think these are two young ladies on a date together?
I'd like to think so.
The one I can see looks like Gloria Steinem to me.
The one I'm looking at looks like the chick that used to go out with Hugh Hefner. What's her name?
Kendra Wilkinson?
Yes, exactly.
I read her two autobiographies from the library. I'm going to just say not worth the time. All right. We are
but that's
back.
Not her.
I know. Well, sorry. She's probably not read the So we are back. And we are talking taxidermy with Brant, who's had a desire to maybe, you know, get some exotics, tiger, bald eagle.
That would be fun.
Has also had a desire to go dog, which I would have thought would have been an easy one, especially in New York with all those little dogs. Is there another one that you're aiming for or is on your checklist?
I would like to work with – most of the animals that I work with are very small. They have to fit in my freezer. And I do this in my living room.
And you have a New York freezer.
Yeah, you live in New York.
So. I live in New York, so I do this in my living room. So they have to be small.
So you're stuffing cockroaches.
Do you have a girlfriend or
a
significant other?
All of my – everybody – if I'm on any kind of dating site, it's always the number one thing I put up there because it's
taxidermy.
Like you need to be okay with this.
Oh, yeah. Hi, honey. So. I'm making some gazpacho.
So the goth.
I've got these three mice. I'm making play violins.
So he's got goth girls standing outside his window going, ooh.
Do goth girls go for taxidermists?
There are a lot of. I suppose it's goth. A lot of black clothes wearing people. it's kind of come back into hipness again.
I would not have thought that eating disorder would break the story on taxidermist groupies.
Let's just talk about it from a cultural standpoint. Cultural. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, we've been in Williamsburg for at least I had been in Williamsburg for freaking who knows how many years. And it was always this thing about deer heads and boar heads and rabbits and fucking and ducks and mice, you know, on t-shirts and on furniture and on pillows and all this shit. The whole irony standpoint of it is one of the things that I always, and also the nostalgic standpoint of it, where what people describe as hipsters. I don't like the word because it means fucking nothing.
Yeah.
It really fucking means nothing. It's like, what's a hipster? It's somebody who grew up in a certain time frame that somebody slapped a name on. But from the standpoint of people who grew up within the 90s through this era, you know, they grew up with wood paneling or they grew up with, you know, deer or duck or whatever on their walls. What do you think about the irony standpoint of it, like that thing,
you know,
or the nostalgia standpoint of it?
I'm a very nostalgic person, so that so I get that.
Yeah, the bow tie says it. Yeah,
what isn't all taxidermy nostalgia or not? No, again. Go ahead.
No, not necessarily. Spiro's but I think there's also I think people want to reconnect with nature to a certain extent, especially we've got these people living in New York City and. You know, there's that, you remember someone blew the lid off the lumber sexual trend earlier this year? Do you remember that?
I don't. Do you know this, Reverend?
Lumber sexuals?
Oh, shut up. It's about people with beards. It's us.
Oh, damn. And what happened?
You know, it's a little more fine-tuned than that. But yeah, it's the guy that has the beard and wears a buffalo plaid shirt and has a, you know, maybe a handmade, wet-treated canvas backpack.
Jack, you're hearing that, Jack?
So you're saying I shouldn't bring my library copy of Eat, Pray, Love to the Dropkick Murphys show tonight? All right. So you haven't been asked to taxidermy a hipster yet.
Not but yet.
Dinosaur? Is that a hard one? That's a hard one. All right. So was
taxidermy a dinosaur?
Yeah. Like I know there was the Mongolian fake bones. They put a lot of dinosaur bones together.
Right. To that one. Hold on. Yeah, I want to talk about like, please. You know, there's been it's you know, we love horror movies here.
Sure.
You know, and then there was House of a Thousand Corpses, where Rainn Wilson was actually taxidermied into a fish man.
Oh, like a mermaid kind of thing?
Yes. He was
like a Fiji mermaid?
Is that the guy? Yeah, Rob Zombie?
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't remember Rainn Wilson being taxidermied.
He was taxidermied.
I remember the Kevin Smith tusk, go ahead.
But he wasn't taxidermied, though. He was just turned into a thing. And that was a terrible movie. But then there was the Jeepers Creepers. In the beginning where there was a tapestry of human beings.
All right.
On the ceiling of the villains.
Monsters. And certainly Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He sews faces onto
exactly.
Himself.
Right.
Yep. Does all of that fall under taxidermy? Because if so, people are going to be scared.
That's interesting. I would hesitate to ask those guys. Excuse me, Leatherface.
Yes, exactly.
I was wondering what your methods are.
What about like Buffalo Bill?
Buffalo Bill.
Rub the lotion.
You know,
put the lotion in the basket.
Exactly.
No, what does he say?
Yeah.
Put the lotion in the fucking basket.
He's making a lady suit.
He wants to make a lady suit out of actual human parts.
Out of actual ladies.
You know what? I'm beginning to think you guys need a better PR agent because this does not sound good.
No, it's true. You know, and Psycho, the whole monologue he has is about doing taxidermy. And he taxidermies the birds, but he doesn't like to do
But what about what's the difference between taxidermy animals. And mummification?
So mummification is happening sort of just naturally over time and through loss of moisture. Yeah.
Lazy taxidermy.
Like drying.
Which is why our women are so, you know, after moisture all the time.
Yeah. Taxidermy, you got to take the blood out, right? You got to take some stuff out.
Well, you're pretty much only using the skin. That's it. So you're skinning the animal, and everything else you can do whatever you want with the bones.
How come Elvis wasn't taxidermied? You'd think Graceland.
Because there was so much fat involved.
Right. But
taxidermy came from the Greek arrangement of skin.
All right, yes. Always wanted to promote the Greeks. So the Greeks were the first. The Greeks were the first people to skin people or skin animals and then preserve them.
No, they were the first people to talk.
To talk. All right.
To talk good.
To talk good. What do you think the future of taxidermy is? Will it always be around because we have this notion of preservation?
And also to that, about rogue taxidermy, about creating, there's a thing called
like
rogue.
Gaffs or.
Rogue?
Yeah. Rogue taxidermy. What creating like, you know, jackalopes or griffins or.
Things that don't
things
exist.
That don't exist.
Or chimeras.
I'm writing a short film that has a cockatrice in it, which is a body of a dragon, head of a rooster.
Yep, exactly.
So let me know if you come across one of those.
Well, no. What about that?
You said rooster
head, dragon body.
Okay, so the dragon body, someone could make that out of a couple different lizards.
Okay.
Like you could take depending on how big you wanted it, but you could take like a monitor lizard and maybe put some bat wings on it. That'd be too small to lift up a monitor lizard, but you work with it or you make fake ones. And then you can put a rooster head on that. Sure.
So yeah, let's talk about that. Like rogue taxidermy. And it's creating chimeras.
It's either it doesn't necessarily have to be an animal that doesn't exist.
Okay.
It can be an animal doing something or just it being in sort of a unnatural setting, because with real taxidermy you're trying to
like a Republican helping people.
look at that badger on the typewriter.
Right. You could consider like anthropomorphic taxidermy, sort of rogue taxidermy, but generally with someone who, if you want to create an animal that looks like it did in the wild, doing something like it did in the wild, like when you go to the Museum of Natural History and you see those dioramas, those are perfect representations of the animal, its movements and where it is and it's in that space, versus, you know, a rogue taxidermist might have, you know, a savage, bloodthirsty turtle eating a raccoon on it. You know, you can create these scenarios that are not necessarily realistic.
So it's like a Dungeons and Dragons.
Does that,
kind of thing.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
Does that appeal to you as a taxidermist, or are you
a purist?
I find
it interesting. So if you're interested in rogue taxidermy, there's a book that I would definitely recommend. It's Robert Marbury's Taxidermy Art. It's got a bright orange cover. And
That's how you know it's good.
He does. Um, he does sort of a profile of the most prominent rogue taxidermists working all over the world today. And okay. There's even like a little bit of how to do taxidermy yourself at the end of the book. And there's some really great books on taxidermy. Huh. And if you're interested in doing it, you can even kind of... Oh, yeah.
Do you recommend self-taxidermy or like home taxidermy? Is that something like you can watch on a YouTube video?
And, there are definitely videos. Absolutely. If you go on... There are some taxidermy supply companies.
Are they mostly in Kentucky?
They're big company. I mean, they have when you get a taxidermy supply catalog, it's like the size of a Bible. They are
really
huge.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like a phone book.
So you don't want to just do a pigeon. You want to go big.
The thing is, they are so many different styles. So like, let's say you just want to do a white-tailed deer. There are so many different ways to do that. Do you want the whole body? Do you just want the head? Do you want them turning this way? Do you want them turning that way?
Moment of surprise as he realizes he's been shot
with
like an AK-47. He's like, that's not even street legal.
Yeah, there's a great old Far Side cartoon when Gary Larson had early in his career, and it's these four little panels, and one panel is a bear, and he's just like drinking at a little lake, and he's just like on all fours drinking from this lake, and he's very cute. And then this guy, this hunter, sees him and shoots him. And then in the next panel, there's the bear standing on two legs with his arms above him,
nice.
With a big snarl.
Right.
So everyone wants to make it seem like, you know, it was a life and death battle between this.
Do you think, is it odd that taxidermy makes me hungry? I don't know why. Where can people get a hold of you if they do want to give their dog? If Paris Hilton.
Oh, boy. Well, don't trust me with your dog yet. I need some more practice.
Eating disorder certified to do Paris Hilton's dogs or anybody's dogs.
Or Paris Hilton.
She's probably got.
Got so much plastic surgery. She's fucking.
Does Madame Tussauds have any animals or they only have humans?
No, but that's all wax.
That's all wax.
Yeah,
no,
wax,
I know, but I'm saying, wax
but the,
seems
I mean,
like
the thing
an affordable
is with,
way to work.
If,
wax and humans these days is interchangeable.
Oh, yes, that's true. You go to Yankee Candle and shapes their stuff.
Yeah. You really do have to be a sculptor because if you go to the Museum of Natural History and you see those animals, what is under the skin are these amazing sculptures that someone had to make by hand of the animal
which
and then
wire,
put the skin on top.
Which are wire-based.
Not paper mache.
There are a few different ways to do it. I mean, you can buy a mold already made, or you can make one out of wire and clay, and or you can just do it with some different bits of straw and string, and
let's do this. Well, time is winding down. First, tell us where people can get a hold of you.
I've got my email I can give out. It's alistair.brant@gmail.com, and that's alastair.
Alistair
Brant.
Any taxidermy websites you recommend people peruse?
You know, there are a lot of great taxidermy books. Man, I've got so much I want to say. I can't believe we're winding down. This is so sad. There's so much to talk about. If you're interested in taxidermy, you really need to learn about Carl Eckele. He's the guy that did most of the animals in the Museum of Natural History. He was attacked by a leopard once.
Oh, man.
And instead of trying to pull his arm out of the leopard's mouth, he shoved it further down the leopard's throat in order to suffocate him.
This is a good life lesson.
Badass dude.
I'm guessing he suffocated him. Did he suffocate the leopard?
Him. Yeah,
is that leopard in the Natural History Museum now?
Yeah, he did go off to a museum, but I don't think
he didn't make the cut. He was like, screw you. You're going to like Cleveland.
Should also look up Walter Potter. He's an old English taxidermist who did a lot of anthropomorphic taxidermy and some fun stuff.
You know, though, once you got the guy with the hand down his leopard, it's like Potter's out.
And if you're interested in gator koi's or anything,
koi's,
you should check out Rick Kinnair, and he does a lot of alligator things in Louisiana. And people know Chuck Testa. Chuck Testa.
He's like
he's
the
guy
Pitt
like
of taxidermy.
He's Chuck Testa got pretty famous doing taxidermy through a commercial that was like, oh no, there's a coyote in my yard. And then he stands up with a taxidermy coyote and goes, nope, it's been taxidermized by me, Chuck Testa. You can just buy this insurance.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's finish with this. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most difficult, the Reverend and I will yell out different animals and you'd give us the degree of difficulty for taxidermy. 1 to 10, 10 being difficult. Are you ready, Rev?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, you go first. Go.
Rush Limbaugh.
So subjective.
Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, that's easy. That's one. How much lard do you have?
Jellyfish.
That's going to be difficult because of just the way they're... I don't even know if you could taxidermy them because they would dry out very quickly. You might have to plastinate them or something.
Leprechauns.
Leprechauns. Pretty easy. If you can get one, pretty easy.
Pretty well, you can get.
Yeah,
one
but can you get the gold? I mean, with the
well, it's pretty
well, that's a separate issue. You didn't ask me about that.
This has been incredibly informative, much more educational, and you have so much more to tell.
I have
we'll bring you back.
I've got a poem about cannibalism.
We can bring you back on a cannibal episode. Tell it. We got time.
Tell the poem.
Are you sure?
Jack, the voice of Heritage Radio.
Well, I used to work at a butcher shop, and then I wrote
this.
Yes, here it is. All right, ready? Going out on this. So before you start, for HeritageRadio.com, Crazy Legs Conti, the Reverend. Great episode. We didn't think we could top Corn Mo. We have with taxidermy. We're leaving with a butcher shop / cannibal poem, and we're going to go out on that.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure. I hope you have me back.
Awesome.
I would love that.
And we'll have a taxidermied version of ourselves probably in about 6 months in the studio.
Absolutely.
Finish up.
All right. This is called The Butcher. I've got a fetish that's not so obscure. Lots of folks are into it. I'm not the only one, for sure. It started when I was young. I used to eat it raw. I'd masticate till I got bruises all along my jaw. I like to feel the blood on my tongue when I bite down good and hard. I like the way my kitchen smells when the air is filled with lard. I love meat. I love blood, bones, brains, skin, guts, and heart. If I have to kill you to eat you, then I'll eat every part. Please don't get me wrong, I'm all for animal rights, but just look at my teeth, I was literally born to savor fleshy delights. And I believe every animal deserves a happy and healthy life, right up until he's under the blade of my favorite deboning knife. It's terrible, and I feel bad, eating meat should be taboo, but I so love the taste and the way it feels to chew. I've only ever dated vegetarians, so decode that, Freud. Perhaps it's my primal way of filling up their void. If I could press a button that would make me eat only greens, put it in front of me, I dare you, I'd press it by all means. The problem is, I love animals, but I also love meat. Those poor piggies aren't asking for it, they're harmless and sweet. If only I could put people on the business end of my stunning cash knocker. Then, without guilt, I could fill the hooks in my beautiful meat locker. I can see it now, and it sounds just divine. A herd of apathetic, moronic humans walking down my slaughter line. They're destructive and overpopulated. I should begin without delay. The world could use a few less people, if you were to ask me anyway. I could keep young people in cages and feed them greens, nuts, and butter for every meal until they became the perfect example of tender human veal. I'd treat my herd humanely, though, while still making them supple. For instance, if one had a luffer, I'd cut their throats together as a couple. It would be expensive to ensure that they each had a healthy diet, but it would be worth it for the flavor. Don't knock it till you try it. I love this idea. I think it's a real winner, so come on over to my shop. And I'll see you for dinner.
Oh,
it's a cookbook.
Dr. Seuss meets Dexter. Eating disorder, we're out.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.